as we continue our series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible, we begin our study today by asking this question. Are the little words important too? We will look at how important removing one word with one letter in the word. The word A, amen, this point here is to stress the fact that when Christ stated every word, he did mean every word. We cannot eliminate even the little word A. In John chapter 24, in verse 24, we read in the Word of God, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The new Bibles and the so-called scholars would have you think that one little word cannot make much of a difference. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, Christ said, For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. He said, not one jot or one tittle. However, it's very important to keep every word in the Bible, every letter, every punctuation point, etc. Let's look at why. In John chapter 4, verse 24, the word A is under attack. You would think is, since it is in italics. However, the scholars attack the word A. Hence, nearly all new Bibles take the word A. Take out the word A. The NASV, the NIV, etc., etc. It reads, God is spirit. They're very shrewd about this. Amen. They perform a sleight of the hand. There is more than one type of spirit, amen. God is spirit. The devil is a spirit, amen. According to Ephesians 2:2. Angels are spirits, according to Hebrews 1:14. Demons are spirits, or devils are spirits, according to 1 Timothy 4:1. To take out the word A would lump them all together in class and class God with angels, demons, and the devil. That's interesting. The creator with the creation. You know, what's interesting, Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 warns us of this taking place, does it not? Let's turn in our Bibles, the Word of God, the King James Bible, to see with me what it says there in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 25. Notice with me in Romans 1 verse 25. It says, Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Speaking of the devil, we read in Ephesians 2:2, Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we see the devil is a spirit. Now, speaking of angels, amen, speaking of angels, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word of God says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we see angels are spirits too. And then speaking of devils or demons, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Remember this, my dear friends. Every word is important, regardless if it is italicized, or if someone tells you older manuscripts do not contain this verse. Regardless of this statement, every word is important, even the small word A. Christ warned to beware. It is not the world, or is it not the world, isn't it, that is trying to destroy our Bible? It is the crowd that says they are saved and on their way to heaven. That's the folks that are trying to destroy your Bible and my Bible. Amen? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, the Word of God says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Then in Luke chapter 10, verse 3, "Go your ways," the Lord said. "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And that's, of course, what the Apostle Paul told the elders at Ephesus as he was giving them a farewell speech there. Remember this. The Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And what is the Bible practice on italicized words, tough phrases and tough words? The practice is keep them all in there. Thus far, the Bible's practice on Alexandria, Egypt, is to stay away. The Bible practice on Antioch is to go to. Amen. The Bible practice on italicized words and small words is keep them all. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3, and verses 23 to 25, the Word of God tells us, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons." Too many men will stand up for what is right due to attempting to please men and not do the will of Almighty God. You know, God stated he would preserve his word. Over there in Psalm chapter 12, or Psalm 12, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." It says, purify seven times. First we have Hebrew. Then we had the Aramaic, as we saw in Daniel chapters 2 to 7. Then the Greek, then the Old Latin, or the Old Syrian, then the Old Latin, German, and then the English. The languages of the Bible leading up to the English text of the King James Bible. Something to think about, my dear friends. Love your Bible, amen. People died. That's right. People gave their lives, their very lives, that you can have it and read it. Know that God did preserve his word for us. My dear friends, do not let anyone steal it from you, let alone some self-conceited brethren. Amen. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We ask the question next, will they lie to me? Well, you can show a person all the raw facts concerning the King James Bible, just as you can show a person all the raw facts concerning salvation. However, you cannot force a person into salvation, can you? Nor can you force a person in believing the fact that God kept his promise and preserved his very words for us, preserving it in the King James Bible. Amen? That's right. I believe that every doctrine can be proved using the English text of the King James Bible. To date, there has not been one proven error in the King James. Note again, proven error. Many puffed-up scholars attempt to find errors, but they come up empty. They cannot, because there are no errors. Amen, in God's words. All in all, my friend, you must deal with the heart. It is the heart that needs change and not the mind. The heart is what is wicked. It is how you approach God. It's how God will deal with you. If the person does not believe the word of God, God's word will not work effectually in their lives. We want to turn to 1 Thessalonians in the Word of God. And by now you know when I say the Word of God, I'm not talking about any NIV or NASV or RSV. I'm talking about the very words of God that are preserved in our King James Bible. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica, he said these words. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You have to believe the word of God in order to effectually work in your lives. Amen. As we continue now, I want us to, as we look at 1 Kings here in chapter 13, and we want to read down to verse 34, and then I'll make some comments afterwards as we say, you know, will they lie to me? Will they lie to you? 1 Kings 13, we're beginning in verse 1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he went unto his sons, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So we went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come under the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which he hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned, not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. The account that I just read, amen, this account is one of the greatest proofs that men will lie to you regardless of their status. There are two men in this story that are of God. The man of God from Judah and the old prophet that lived in Bethel. The young man was being used of God. He performed a miracle to the hand of King Jeroboam. The young man of God called upon God to heal King Jeroboam's hand. King Jeroboam then asked the man of God to come home with him. However, the man of God stated that God told him not to eat or drink, nor go back the same way he came, due to a command of God to him. The news of his work spread to the old prophet via his sons. The old prophet goes to the man of God and tells him to go home with him and eat. And the man of God gave the same response. Now here is where the axe is dropped. The old prophet lies to the man of God and states an angel told him to bring the man of God back with him to his house. Why? My thought, he was jealous that God was using this man. Maybe God had quit using the old prophet. This prophet destroyed the truth of God in this young man. The final authority went from God to this old prophet. This happens today when a man stands up and tells you that they believe the Bible is the word of God, and then cut it to pieces by stating a better translation is this. The originals say this. I stated before that if the originals were to be found, many of these men would worship them. If God had any intention of placing some magical authority in them, would he not preserve them? People go around looking for originals, just as they look for the bones of John the Baptist. There are said to be three different skulls from John the Baptist. Someone asked a Catholic priest once about this, and he stated the smaller one was when he was a child. A few years back, a big thing was finding parts from the cross that Christ was crucified on. There were said to have so many parts found that you could have built a house. People would worship the originals if they were found. Now, what we want to turn our attention to next is this. You know, we hear so much about the originals. Amen. Let's look at what God has to say about the originals. Remember now, as we do, as in all of our study here, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. In Jeremiah chapter 36, Jeremiah tells Baruch to take down his words that the Lord had given to him. The Lord had pronounced words against the land of Israel and Judah. The Lord told Jeremiah not to go to the land, but to write the words down. Jeremiah sent Baruch to the land with the words he wrote in a roll of a book. In verse 21, the book is presented to the king. And in verse 23, he cut up the book and threw it in the fire. Notice with me, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 36, in verses 21 through 23. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So we see the first originals of chapters 45 and 51 are destroyed. In chapter 36 of Jeremiah in verse 32, it says, Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, amen, the son of Neri, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides these unto them many like words. So what we see here is the second original is produced with some words added to it. And in Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 59 to 64, it is read. And then after the roll is read, note what Jeremiah tells Sirai to do with the book. He tells him to throw it in the Euphrates. What happens? Original number 2 is gone. But consider this. We still have chapters 45 to 51, which record what Jeremiah had commanded to be written. That thus, they must have come from original number 3. Look at in Jeremiah with me. In Jeremiah chapter 51 and verses 59 through 64. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sarai, the son of Neriah, the son of Masai, which went when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. In this, Sarai was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon, shalt see, and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou hast bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. God did not worry about the originals. Twice they were destroyed, and the words of the Lord were preserved. Amen. That's what it says. Psalm 12, verse 7. Amen. That God would preserve his words. Did he not? Amen. Didn't God say that? He certainly did. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt purify them, or thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's what the Lord said. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. In Genesis, Moses came down and sees Aaron had a rock concert with dancing going on. He broke the tablets of stone that they were written on. And what happened? God gave another. Two different examples that God will preserve what he wants preserved. It is the heart that needs to be dealt with. The old prophet destroyed the authority of the word of God and lied to the man of God. The man of God went out into the streets and was devoured by a lion. This is the same that happens to a Christian. He is thrown to the lion, which is Satan, who is out to destroy the authority in a Christian's life, the Word of God. You destroy that foundation, and the Christian is without a weapon. Later, the king, which saw what the man of God did, he turned not from his wicked ways, and the Bible says this sin destroyed the house of Jeroboam. Not just one person was destroyed, but an entire family was destroyed by one statement, one lie, one challenge to the Word of God. God pity the man that challenges the authority of the Word of God, the man that says God cannot keep his word.